Nikki Haley, did you ever consider her?
You know, what I got to say, you don't really want to put it on.
Let me hear it!
Well, the woman's not going to be a good president. She's going to have no balls to scratch. She's just going to scratch her head.
Whether you're scratching your balls or scratching your head, this is the Rubin Report. I'm Dave Rubin. It's March 6, 2024. We're live streaming on Rumble, on Locals, on YouTube, post-game show, RubinReport.locals.com. And yes, yesterday was Super Tuesday, which we realized after the show we didn't even mention, which I think sort of tells you the state of things, which we're going to dive into today. We're actually going to step away a little bit from the cultural stuff and some of the tech stuff that we've been focusing on and just dive right back into what's going on politically, because yes, it was Super Tuesday. Trump basically swept. Nikki Haley is done. Biden, I suppose, is the nominee, or whatever the hell is driving Biden or keeping him alive or whatever else. But really, the way I want to frame it was the utter lack of enthusiasm around this entire thing. The fact that I did a show yesterday without mentioning that it was Super Tuesday, that most, if I was scanning Twitter and I'm looking around on social media and Instagram, and nobody, there's just like no excitement around any of this. We're just apparently, and there's months to go and we'll see what happens, but apparently at this very moment, we're just doing the thing again that we did last time that wasn't so great. Now, obviously, if you're sitting in my chair, Donald Trump is a significant upgrade from the elderly man pretending to be president, but is round two? Is an 81-year-old versus a 77-year-old? Is it really what we need? Is any of this going to solve any of our problems? And what is the real momentum driving each one of them? I would argue it has very little to do with the positive things around them and mostly the negative things around the other guy. And I just don't know that that can solve anything. So that's going to be sort of the framing of everything. But first, it is true. Sorry to say, Nikki Haley has dropped out of the race. Here's from Bloomberg. Breaking: Nikki Haley ends 2024 bid, setting up Trump-Biden rematch. And yeah, Trump swept basically the entire, well, it was a sweep minus one. What do you call a sweep minus one? A not exactly sweep, a slightly lesser thing than sweep. Nikki Haley did somehow by 4 points win in Vermont, but you can see Trump won across the board. The vote turnout, or the voter turnout, was rather depressed. So I think that also is indicative of a whole bunch of people that aren't really into this thing. There's not much more I have to say about Nikki Haley. As I said many times over the last couple of months, I like her. She's a very decent human being. I just didn't see where the momentum was. There was only one other guy who had some momentum, RD, and obviously that didn't happen. So it's Trump, and that's just fine. And I think the Democrats, this is the matchup they wanted. I think they're getting the guy they think is the most beatable. I think that had it not been for the court cases and keeping him off the ballot, the momentum behind him wasn't there. So they kind of created the momentum to get the guy that they wanted. But anyway, let's leave that there and let's jump right over to the televised mental institution known as MSNBC, because why do they think Trump won yesterday and will continue to win? Racism.
They're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea that they can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it. Therefore, drive all the blacks out of the colleges. Get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. Which, at this stage, it isn't about economics.
No, which is why Trump killed the immigration bill.
Correct.
That's why. And because otherwise, he can't run against the other and brown people and people who don't look like him, like his supporters, his base of supporters, coming across the border and scaring people and killing people or whatever he's threatening out there. I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue.
Yeah.
I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build
a
wall. Like, what? I mean, when I was in New Hampshire, people were talking about the northern border as a threat. Because Trump has indoctrinated people with this fear of people who do not look like them being a threat to them.
All right, you guys get it. All they have is that what drives this man, I mean, we're just doing the same damn thing again, but it's worth noting because a whole bunch of people are going to fall for it again. All they have is that this guy is racist, he's a Nazi, he's Hitler, his supporters are all evil, blah, blah, blah. But did you catch the little Rachel Maddow line there at the end when Psaki says she's from Virginia. So like, we're meaning I'm from Virginia. We're cool in Virginia. And Maddow's like, well, you're bordering West Virginia. That's where all the races are. Can you just throw back to that little portion?
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yes. I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build the wall. Like,
Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. You could really see why people hate these people, like why people hate sort of the media class and elites. What's wrong with people in West Virginia? I don't know. They mostly mind their business. I've been to West Virginia a few times. What is she like? They're white, so they're racist. Like, you're just awful. Anyway, everything else that they analyzed there was just wrong. It was just wrong or confused or just like downright evil in the way they lie about everything. Getting rid of DEI is good, Joy Reid. It is good because DEI is institutionalized racism. So yeah, we are getting rid of that. People are not concerned so much about the color of the skin of the people that are coming over the border, rather than their intent, their beliefs, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not just that people are upset that brown and black people are coming over the border. When there's Chinese nationals coming over the border, who the hell are these people? Why are they allowed in the country? Et cetera, et cetera. So everything that they frame everything around the lowest common denominator around race, rather than perhaps, I keep talking about this magical mirror that I want to get all these people. How about you guys just look in the mirror and be like, you know, maybe, the demonization we've done of all of these people for so long and telling everybody that they're bad because they have different beliefs than us, maybe that's starting to drive the momentum back to the orange guy who we hate so much, although he does give us an awful lot of clicks, so we kind of do love him, and perhaps we think he's the most beatable candidate, which is why we wanted him to be the Republican nominee. Anyway, it continued over at MSNBC. Here's Alex Wagner, who I believe is married to Barack Obama's former chef, just an interesting little piece of information. And she combines Trump and the evangelicals and racism and a little more of that.
The issue of race animates Donald Trump. The issue of race has long animated the evangelical movement. And in some ways, it makes perfect sense that you're seeing the unity that you are today.
And I'm so glad.
It's just so bad. It's so thin and it's so wrong. You know, I went to many, many Trump rallies, and I suppose if they have some in Florida as we get closer to the election, I'll gladly go to them and see what's going on there. But I never saw anyone be racist. Remember, Trump, lowest all-time black unemployment, lowest all-time Latino unemployment, and he said that at the State of the Union, and the Congressional Black Caucus sat there like this. Remember that? It was like, all right, you know, if you say you're Congressional Black Caucus, I think you'd like for black people to have jobs, but no, not if those jobs have something to do with an orange man. Also going after the evangelicals who I have by and large over the last 5 years or so of my life, as I've traveled the country and I've done book tours and met people everywhere, the evangelicals are I have consistently found to be the most nice, welcoming, decent people. And the idea that they're just driven by racism, like, lady, you wouldn't say that about any other group. Any other group. Pick a couple other religions that might be a little more driven by racism. Why don't you say that? There's an awful lot of people outside in the streets in New York and in DC and in LA and San Francisco chanting for genocide of the Jews. A lot of them are of another religion. Like, you don't really talk much about that, do you? From MSNBC, let's go over to The View because we got their incredible analysis of everything. And Whoopi also wants to freak you out because Trump's coming for the women and the gays.
I'm simply going to say this race comes down to you. This race comes down to nobody but us. This is all of us. So pick what you want. You know, you want your friends to be able to feel like they don't need to be afraid should they happen to be gay? Do you want your friends who are women to not be afraid of the country that they're in? These are choices that are made at the bottom line. In each city, each town, the people we elect are the people who are moving forward, who will be making these decisions for us. Pick the people who are fighting for the things that you want.
Yes, pick the people who are fighting for the things that you want. I'd like a border. I'd like to remove DEI from the institutions. I'd like lower taxes. I'd like states' rights. I'd like rule of law. I'd like better policing. I'd like less homeless people. Those are things that generally now are more associated with the Republican Party, and Donald Trump is the titular head, good word, of the Republican Party. Also, the idea that Trump is coming for the women and he's coming for the gays, it's so boring, and we've been through this a million times. And that isn't to say that there aren't some, let's say, more radical religious people on the right who don't really like the gays. But Donald Trump certainly is not one of them. You all know the story. I'll recap it in 42 seconds of when I went to Mar-a-Lago. I met Trump for the first time, and Junior introduced us, and I was standing there with David, and Trump looks at me, and he goes, I kind of recognize you. Who are you? And I was like, well, I'm Dave Rubin. I'm on Tucker sometimes. Maybe you see me. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And he looks at David, my husband. Who are you? He goes, well, I'm his husband. And Trump goes, ah, that's great. And he gets up and he stands up. I want to shake your hands. And he goes, you know what your only problem is, pointing at me? Your only problem is you guys are too handsome. You could have any chick you want, but you want this guy. And then he's like, Melania, can you believe it? These guys are gay. And it was just like, it was fun and normal and decent. And that is very the reverse, actually, of the way the left treats the gays, where they should be worshipped. You should be on your knees with the gays. No? That's what, that's what he said. There you go. Anyway, we'll get to Trump in just a moment, because he gave a long-winded, as he does, a long sort of extemporaneous stand-up speech at Mar-a-Lago last night after he swept minus one. Super Tuesday. We'll talk about that in a sec. First, Gravity Defier, guys. Let me share a recent discovery with you. G-Defy shoes. That's G-D-E-F-Y shoes. Let me tell you, they are simply amazing. No, they're beyond amazing. G-Defy is a footwear company on a mission to relieve knee, back, and foot pain. Now, as many of you know, I've struggled with knee pain playing basketball. I don't have an ACL in my left knee. But from the moment I slipped into my G-Defy shoes, the pain has just vanished. How does G-Defy achieve this ultimate comfort? Firstly, every pair comes with free custom orthotics to align your body perfectly. Then there's their patented VersoShock trampoline technology in the heel, which absorbs harmful shocks and provides positive renewed energy, empowering you to tackle every day. Additionally, G-Defy has integrated a strong structural system into their shoes that improve your posture and encourage you to walk using your calf and other major muscle groups. Don't take my word for it. Read the countless customer reviews raving about the pain relief and amazing comfort they have experienced with G-Defy shoes. I, for one, can't get enough of them, and I wholeheartedly recommend them to anyone looking for relief. Experience the comfort and pain relief for yourself. Visit gdefy.com today and use code Ruben30 for $30 off. 150 or more. And now back to me. All right, let's just jump over to Donald J. Trump at Mar-a-Lago, which I'm told is worth more than $17 million, celebrating his Super Tuesday blowout.
USA, 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 USA. Well, thank you very much. They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. This is a big one. And they tell me, the pundits and otherwise, that there's never been one like this. There's never been anything so conclusive. This was an amazing night, an amazing day. It's been an incredible period of time in our country's history. It's been sad in so many ways, but I think it's going to be inspiring, because we're going to do something that, frankly, nobody's been able to do for a long time.
All right, so we've seen this before. You know, it's great. It was sad. It's a wonderful day. It's the best day ever. It's fantastic. Okay, but he has reason to be happy right now, right? The court cases, or the Supreme Court, ruled that he's going to be on the ballots. He got hit with this $333 million ridiculous defamation thing in New York, and the businesses are struggling there. But in essence, unless they get him on one of these major federal things at this point, he's going to be the nominee. It's working in his direction. Here's a bit more on what he says can bring us kind of to unity and success.
Because you wouldn't have, think of it, all of the problems that you have today, I don't think you would have had any of them. You'd only have success. And that's what's ultimately going to unify this country and unify this party. We have a great Republican Party with tremendous talent, and we want to have unity, and we're going to have unity, and it's going to happen very quickly. And I have been saying lately, success will bring unity to our country. And it happened before. We had the best economy our country's ever had. And people were calling me that I would have said, will never happen. It'll never happen. They wanted to get together African-American, Asian-American, Hispanic-American, women, men, people with diplomas from the best schools in the world, and people that didn't graduate from high school. Every single group. was doing better than ever before. And it was a beautiful thing. Our country was coming together. Our country was coming together.
You know, the line success will bring unity, I think, is the right message for Trump. That if you look at the if you look at Trump's time before COVID, we had incredibly low unemployment. We had an economy that was chugging. We had peace deals being signed in the Middle East. There was really a world realignment. People are looking at an America again that they could look up to. And I do think that is what the world wants. Trump deserves absolutely all of the credit for that. And COVID happens, okay, it changes everything. But the idea success will bring unity, that is the message that he needs to be pushing. Look, we're never going to be a unified country. And there's really no such thing as sort of an ideologically unified country when you have 350 million people with the geographic size that we have. If you had an absolutely tiny country with a kind of monolithic culture and ethnicity and all that, maybe you could be mostly unified. And even there, it's tricky to do. There's plenty of small countries that are largely similar in ethnicity and culture, and they have their own problems. We have a massive amount of land with 350 million people, with people from every walk of life. So the idea of unity, especially in the time of like, how are you gonna have unity with, let's say, if a third of the country is basically woke leftists, you're never gonna have unity with them. So it's not unity in sort of the grand sense, but success does kind of quiet people, right? So if Trump becomes president, and then he starts unleashing the American economy again, and we start making a foreign policy that actually makes sense again, maybe pull back from Ukraine, right? Like whatever that might be, it doesn't even matter so specifically. But if we start doing some things right again, the success will start presenting itself. And then when people are a little more successful, they have a couple more dollars in their pocket, and then interest rates go down, and then it's like, oh, I could buy a home now, and I can spend a little bit more money, and I can go on a different vacation. When you start doing those other things, then people start becoming a little less political, and that is good. Partly the reason everyone is so damn political right now is because things are pretty freaking screwy, and we know it. All of that being said, the real question is, what will be the momentum behind Trump? Because we know that there's a huge anti-Trump movement, and we know that the base loves him, but for those middle of the road people, or the people who might be on the way, who've had it with the left, can Trump capture them right now? I don't know the answer to that. However, you're not going to believe this. I'm about to show you a clip from CNN where they actually made sense. It's John King and Jake Tapper. They're standing in front of one of those big screens, very exciting for them. And John King, I think, actually said something that was sensible on CNN. Can we send them a bouquet of something? Okay.
The percentage of it has actually jumped up even more. It's 88% of the delegates, so you're looking at the percentage. Donald Trump cannot mathematically clinch tonight, but he can get within 100 or so of what he needs, and he can do that next week. And so what you have here is, you know, he has remade the party in his image. There are still some Republicans who are trying to take it away, like take it back. Right? That's over. There's no back. That party doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
It just doesn't. You know, it just doesn't. Look at the House of Representatives. Look at what's happening in the United States Senate. Mitch McConnell stepping aside. And some of the more governing conservatives trying to keep their power even just within the Senate Republican conference. This is a new Republican Party. And so you have a very formidable Republican frontrunner who has remade the party in his image. And I know a lot of people at home are asking, well, wait a minute. We all saw January 6th. Wait a minute. Innocent until proven guilty, but there's all these cases. He has convinced them he won the last election. Never mind anything that happened since then. A majority of these voters are going to the polls in most of these states still saying that, you know, Donald Trump should be president. Yeah. And so this is his party. And again, sometimes I think, you know, stop talking. Just look. This is his party. And he is on a march to the nomination. That does not mean if the general election were tomorrow, there's a lot of data that suggests he would win
right
at this moment in time. It is not tomorrow. It's 8 months from now. So you have two very strong front runners who both have very significant weaknesses. And then you have the question of the third party candidates, which I raised.
I don't know what they gave him right before that, but that's John King actually making sense. Yes, the old Republican Party is dead. I think Nikki represented the last chance for the old crew to do something here that was not, you know, pure MAGA, right? She's now gone. Mitch McConnell's stepping down. He is the ultimate representation, avatar of the old Republican establishment and the swamp and all of that stuff. So now it has been remade. The Republican Party has been remade in Trump's image. Now we will see if he actually becomes president and then that scales up, or he remakes the Republican Party in his image. The media promotes the hell out of him because they want all the clicks, and then he's perhaps the easiest to beat, and then there basically is no more Republican Party. We'll see. I guess we'll pick this up probably about 8 days into November in a couple months from now. But there's a whole bunch of things happening in terms of momentum and where people can shift. That's what I want to focus on the other side. And also a bit about this Joe Biden guy, because it is just every day. It's getting worse, people. He could use the wellness company, and so could you. Guys, 2024 is the year to be prepared, and it's an election year after all. We're not dwelling on 2020 anymore. Not though, really. But if that time taught us anything, it's that we really do need to be prepared for anything. And this medical emergency kit from the wellness company is honestly one of the best things I've seen. You won't find anything like it in a store or pharmacy. This prescription-only kit contains 8 life-saving medications, including ivermectin, amoxicillin, and Z-Pak, plus a guidebook to tell you exactly how and when to use them. Every American should have at least one of these in their home, whether it's a global conflict causing drug shortages, supply chain breakdowns, another healthcare crisis, inflation, or anything Biden's doing at the border. Being able to remove yourself from the healthcare system right now is the ultimate flex and the best thing you can do for your family. Ordering couldn't be easier. Go to twc.health/Ruben and add to cart. Use Ruben at checkout to save $45 and get free shipping. Once you've paid, complete the 2-minute intake form and your kit will be shipped to your door. No waiting for an expensive doctor's visit where they likely would refuse your request for some of these scripts. All 8 prescription medications ship to your door in approximately 2 weeks. Have exactly what you need when you need it for as low as the cost of a single doctor's visit. Safeguard your health today by going to twc.health/Ruben and use Ruben at checkout. Kits only available in the US of A. And now back to me. So, okay, Trump, we all kind of get it. It's better than Biden. Well, if you're watching this, I think that's probably what you think. You may absolutely love Trump. I think the bulk of people are just like, we know what it is. It's better than Biden. Here's Joe Biden, dazed and confused yesterday. And it's like, this, we're doing this? Okay, let's do this.
I have a lot of questions. I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
What's your message for Super Tuesday voters?
Everyone, please move
this Super Tuesday, say, do you have a message for voters?
Thanks, come on.
Thank you so much. Thank you all.
That is the man that is the president of the United States right now, and they are telling us we'll be president for 4 more years after this thing. That look in his eyes, the stiffness of his face and the rest of his body, these are all indicators of serious cognitive decline. And that line, we're gonna show it to you again, 4 seconds. That line where he constantly is telling us that if he does certain things, usually takes questions or goes off the prompter, that he's in trouble. Who is he in trouble with? Look, just look at his eyes as he's saying this.
I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
He means it. Wait, if every few weeks on this show, if I went off, well, I'm not on prompter, but if I just like sat there confused and was like, I better not say that or I'd be in trouble. You might go, Dave's got a problem. We better call somebody. Let's look into what's happening there. And yet he's the president of the United States, and he keeps telling us that somebody apparently is threatening to kill him if he, isn't he in charge? Isn't he the one supposedly that has the codes for the nukes and the whole thing? Anyway, here he is talking about the Cookie Monster.
In fact, some of the small snack companies, you won't, and think you won't even notice what they're doing. When they charge you just as much for the same size bag of potato chips, only has a hell of a lot fewer chips in it. I'll tell you who did notice, the Cookie Monster. He pointed out his cookies are getting smaller, paying the same price. I was stunned when I found out that's what actually happened. With that, I'm going to turn this over to Lael, the director of National Economic Council. But I'm supposed to leave for a meeting with the Business Roundtable on the telephone. But I'm going to hang around and listen a little bit. So with your permission, I'd like to stay if you, and my staff will tell me when the drop dead hour occurs.
What? My staff will tell me when I'm going to drop dead. It's like, okay, the Cookie Monster, whatever. You know, the Cookie Monster is a Muppet. He's a puppet. It's just a man with his hand up the ass of a puppet, which I'm pretty sure is what's happening with Biden at this point. It's Obama's got his hand right up his old ass. On CNN, Jim Acosta is still defending Joe Biden and his cognitive abilities because that's what you are paid to do if you are part of the machine.
Paul, it's a continuation of what you hear on the right, that Biden is out of it. He's slipping and all of this stuff, and that the fascists and the communists at the White House are in charge.
Right. Well, we all remember when Joe Biden confused Barack Obama with Donald Trump. Oh, wait, no, that was Trump. We all remember when Joe Biden was under oath and he mistook a woman he raped for his wife. Oh, no, that was Donald Trump. In other words, I think the coverage of this has frankly, not been very accurate, right? Biden's gaffes have always been built in. He's always had his verbal slips, as we all do. I've known him 35 years. I haven't seen it really get worse.
Yeah.
Trump is getting worse. He's melting down.
Paul, I'm so glad you said that.
They're just so incredibly terrible. How do they sit and have lunch in the commissary at CNN and like talk about their children and their lives, knowing that they're all just shill liars? Really, Begala? You've known him for 35 years and you don't think he's worse now? He was wandering off all the time 35 years ago, the stammering and the confusion and the I better not have said that, and then the just blank stare and the stiff gait and the hands that don't move. Yeah, all of that was happening 35 years ago. But Trump, it's worse with Trump. Yes, everyone makes gaffes. I make gaffes on this show. Generally, when I make a mistake, I pick up on it pretty quickly. Every now and again, you guys correct me after the show. There is a wild difference between making a verbal gaffe, a mistake, and completely having your brain blown apart to the point you don't know what you are saying, you are constantly confused, and all of those things. And it's actually annoying talking about it because it could happen to any of us and will probably happen to more of us, these degenerative brain diseases because of what our phones are doing to us and everything else. And most of you watching this probably have a grandparent or someone that you know that has had some of these things. My parents have a very good friend right now that has dementia. It's very sad. He was a great guy when I was growing up. My grandma had dementia. I spent a lot of time going to elder care things with her to try to reverse some of the stuff. So it's not to be glib about any of this, except they're making us be glib about it because they're telling you don't see what you see right in front of your face. That basically should be the tagline of CNN. This is CNN. That was pretty simple. This is CNN. Now it should be CNN. Don't believe anything that you see. That would make a hell of a lot more sense. But speaking of things that you shouldn't believe that you see, they still are telling us that the border is not totally screwy, right? So we've been covering for a year and many other people now, all the online people were covering this disaster at a border. And what did they tell us for months? No, it's a lie. No, it's not happening. Now they're kind of saying it's happening and we have to have a bipartisan deal to make it happen, even though Biden had all the regulations in place. He reversed them first day in office. They brought Pete Buttigieg over on CNBC. And Joe Kernan's the host of the show, and here they are talking about the border crisis. And Pete, who got his job because he's gay, which is a great thing to put on a resume if you want a job with the government, here he is running cover for the administration.
That didn't come until it became clear it was going to be a major campaign issue. And only then did the Biden administration get interested in it. And every time I hear every time we hear those talking points, that suddenly it was Republicans who ruined the border. That's why people get so frustrated. We know what President Biden said about inviting people in. We know that he got rid of all the things that were keeping the border closed that President Trump had put in. We know that he got rid of all those. So when you say it's not his fault.
He got rid of family separation.
Did you see 7.2 million people come in during the Trump administration? It was a trickle.
He got rid of the policy to tear children out of the arms of their parents. That's true. But it is not true. Some of the other things that have been suggested. Let's be clear. Bipartisan efforts
of border reform with why there's a disconnect,
have taken place in 2015, 2006. Okay. I mean, literally.
Good job, Joe. I'd like to get that guy on the show, maybe, because that's a nice job of grilling an official who's just a liar. The first thing, Google it yourself or whatever search engine you use, DuckDuckGo it, is that a thing? The first thing that Biden did when he got into office, which was one of his promises, he actually accomplished one of the promises, which was reversing about 90 Trump-related regulations as it pertained to the border. And we know that from the last year in the Trump administration, when there were around 300,000 interactions at the border, we've had about 3 million in the last year. That's a 10X. That's a problem. We know about 7 million people have come in illegally in the last 3 years. This is a huge problem. That's an awful lot of people. Who are they? What do they think? What do they believe? I'm not that concerned about their skin color, to be quite honest. It's more about the other stuff. It's about the belief system and what are they doing here and all of those things. But it's not just, I mean, this story is absolutely wild. It's not just all of the videos that you're seeing of these people flooding through the border and the border guards opening up doors for them and literally opening doors, lifting barbed wire and all the rest of it. Now the Biden administration, check out this headline from the Daily Mail. Biden administration admits flying 320,000 migrants secretly into the U.S. to reduce the number of crossings at the border as national security vulnerabilities. That is absolutely wild. So now we're finding out that there's probably another 320,000 people that they flew in because they thought the numbers were looking too inflated and that would not look good for Biden. Elon Musk saw that headline and he tweeted this. This administration is both importing voters and creating a national security threat from unvetted illegal immigrants. It is highly probable that the groundwork is being laid for something far worse than 9/11, just a matter of time. I mean, that is freaking chilling and it is just true. We are only 5 or 6 months from October 7th in Israel, a country that has much better controls of their borders, that is much smaller and has to pay attention to their border more because they are under a constant threat of assault and everything else. And look what happened to them. Steve Dace over at The Blaze, he then retweeted Elon Musk making that comment, and he wrote this. It only took about 20 people to pull off 9/11. This is an 18,000% increase, more people than that. I mean, do you think that there's a problem here? Do you think that there's a problem? We do not know who these people are. And then the second you say that you're concerned about that, just go back to those MSNBC clips that we mentioned. You're racist. You live in West Virginia. You must be racist. But if you think that some of the countries that did this nonsense open border stuff years before us aren't regretting it, well, they are. This video, this was tweeted out by James Woods yesterday, actor James Woods, who's basically been kicked out of Hollywood for being a conservative. He doesn't act anymore. He basically said, I'm done as an actor. I'm just going to tell you what I think. Here are the streets of London yesterday. No, that's not Riyadh, that's not Gaza City, that is London. And you might say, okay, that's fine, those are Muslim women and that's just fine, but okay, if you're a good progressive and you're part of the intersectional hierarchy over there, you're part of that intersectional matrix from hell, how do you think those women feel about women's rights? How do you think they feel about that abortion thing that you love? How do you think they feel about the LGBTQI plus two-spirit community? How do you think they feel about just other British citizens who tend to be a little more liberal than them or want to live in a more pluralistic society? I think you probably know the answer to that. Imagine you were a Jew living in London. There was a massive article, I think in the Atlantic or the Standard yesterday, the Weekly Standard maybe, about how Jews are now fleeing London en masse because they're realizing there is no future there. They are letting these people chant genocide and all of the rest of it every weekend, and they are purposely targeting Jewish stores and where Jews live and everything else. All right, so you'll get rid of your Jews, you'll keep importing more of these people. How do you think that's going to work out over time? But to slightly switch the gears from the immigration portion of this, the other portion of it is that they are going to continue to scare you as needed. When they get to the point where they go, all right, we've called everybody racist, that's not working enough, what are they going to do? Well, it's going to be disease X, it's going to be COVID-9, it's going to be zombie invasion, alien apocalypse, which I'd kind of be into that one at this point. But here is the new CDC director, Mandy Cohen, and she's very excited because you can now get an updated flu shot and COVID vaccine 10. Yes? 10.
We need to see everyone get an updated flu shot and an updated COVID vaccine. We also shared on Friday that we expect and anticipate there's going to be an updated COVID vaccine coming this fall, right? So plan now, yeah. Right? It's March, so you can think ahead when you're going to get your flu shot in the fall, you're going to get another updated COVID vaccine. And the reason for it is because this virus continues to change. That's okay. We can stay one step ahead of it. We mm-hmm. have the tools to do it. We just need to use them. So FDA, CDC has started that process just like we do with the flu shot. We've started that process to update the COVID vaccine already for this fall. And so we just want folks to, again, already start thinking about that.
Yeah, so the 10th of the COVID shot. So yeah, the virus is going to keep changing. And it's so crazy. The pharmaceutical companies are going to keep making vaccines that don't actually vaccinate so that you keep buying vaccines for COVID, just like the flu. You're going to get it every year. And there'll always be a new variant, so you have to buy it again. I'm starting to think there might be financial incentive for these people to inject you with things that don't really solve the problem. RFK Jr. saw that video and he tweeted this. Because the first 9 shots didn't protect you. Exactly. That's why they need number 10. I want to show you another video from RFK. This is from a couple months ago, but I think he makes an extremely good point as it relates to government and overreach and what we all should be worried about, whether it comes in the obvious ways than when it comes from the left, but when it can come from the right as well. Take a look.
And I'll leave you with 3 thoughts. One is that any power that government takes from the people, it will never return voluntarily. Number 2 rule, every power that government takes, it will ultimately abuse to the maximum extent possible. And number 3, nobody ever complied their way out of totalitarianism. The only thing we can do is resist. Thank you all very much.
So that's what you got to watch out for. And I think most people know that. And it's such a damn shame that a calm, clear voice, I have my political disagreements with him. I've discussed it with him on this show. We're actually doing an in-studio interview with him, I think, first week in April. So we'll continue that discussion. But just like a calm, clear voice of what we really should be wary of. Government will come in. It will try to help you with things. But once you give up some of those rights, they don't give them back. And too many of us are willing to just hand our rights away, hand our freedom away, and just please, government, can I give you more of my tax dollars so you can tell me how to live? It's just so damn pathetic, and I can see why their whole goal originally was to destroy our educational institutions, because then you'd have a bunch of young people who would be begging for more control over their lives as long as they were strapped into the metaverse and eating their bugs. But okay, what else is going on here? So we've got Biden, where there's just clearly no momentum. There's a machine that's running cover for him. You've got Trump, where there is obviously there's obviously like the base MAGA momentum, and we don't know what percentage of people that is. Let's say it's probably around 30% of people, something like that. But the question is, you really have got to expand that. You've got all of these lefties trying to wake up, trying to come their way. Can they make the move to Trump? Well, whether they can or can't, the Democrats, who are still not happy because the Supreme Court decided 9-0 to force Colorado and the other states to keep Trump on the ballot, now they are trying to figure out some other ways via Congress to get Trump off the ballot, which these morons, unless the case is that they want him to be the nominee and they want him to have momentum, they are just doing the same thing they've done again. Here's Jamie Raskin on how they're going to try to take Trump off the ballot.
I am working with a number of my colleagues, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Eric Swalwell, to revive legislation that we had to set up a process by which we could determine that someone who committed insurrection is disqualified by Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And the House of Representatives already impeached Donald Trump for participating in insurrection by inciting it. So the House has already pronounced upon that.
Again, it does not even really at this point, it no longer matters what your feelings are or thoughts or what really happened on January 6th or anything else. Trump talked about going there peacefully and all of the rest of it. There's all sorts of evidence that the feds had a lot to do with it. There were people moving barricades and opening doors for people. If you broke windows and you punched anybody, obviously you should be dealt with via the proper channels of law. Even though if you punch people on the streets and you break windows, if you're in a Democrat-run city, you get paid, basically. But you can see they're just not letting it go. The courts didn't do what we want, so now we will figure out how to make it happen by Congress. It's not going to work either, but that's just kind of what it is. But again, what this gets us to is this very strange place that we are in, which is why it doesn't feel like there's a lot of momentum behind any of this. I'm telling you, on Twitter yesterday, it's Super Tuesday. This is supposed to be a massive, like, think about Super Tuesday just a couple of years ago when Biden became the nominee. Remember, there was all the jockeying between who was going to be the nominee and everything else, and Biden was sort of the front runner, but people were talking about Gay Pete, and they thought that that crazy socialist Indian woman, Elizabeth Warren, might be in. And then the Democrats, that day, they all cut their deals, and they all dropped out, and, like, there was momentum. There was just, like, stuff happening. Now it's just, like, same old thing. So I just thought this was just an interesting, this is totally anecdotal, but this was an interesting moment where some Nikki Haley voters were asked what they were going to do if Trump is the nominee. I think this is MSNBC as well.
She drops out. Would you be disappointed if she endorsed Trump?
I don't really think she will. I think she'll just keep voting.
I'll vote Democrat. No. That's all there is to it.
Okay, it's obviously totally anecdotal. She ended up dropping out, so the woman was wrong about that. And that man saying he would vote Democrat. Now, maybe he was a Democrat before, but again, it goes to where are the new voters? Where are the crossover people? We can't just be caught in the base of Trump versus, like, the thing is the base of Biden. There is no base of Biden. It's just the machine that props up Biden. But if we're just caught in that, that leaves basically the rest of us just totally out in the cold. And that is not a good recipe for a functional democracy. So I would say that means it's on you, you watching this, the viewer, the listener, to sound the alarm to your neighbor. You've got to help wake people up. And if you do that, you have no idea the change that you can instigate. Chris Rufo, who's been on the show many times, and Chris is from the Manhattan Institute, he has been really the thought leader behind taking out DEI in our institutions. He was working with DeSantis to help do it here in Florida. He is the one that basically exposed Claudine Gay at Harvard for all of her plagiarism. He was on Joe Rogan's show yesterday talking about how the anti-democratic movement that the left has become is actually destroying the country, and perhaps we should do something about that.
The question that was first raised by the presidency of Richard Nixon, that is now coming to fruition with the presidency and the kind of ex-presidency of Donald Trump. We have a democratic system that favors Trump in the sense that he won in 2016. He's winning the primary right now for Republicans in 2024. But you have a bureaucracy that is dead set against him. And the rhetoric amounts to a very odd claim. They essentially say, we want to keep him off the ballot. We want to put him in prison. We want to bankrupt him so he can't become the president, even if the people support him. We want to deprive the people of making the decision. So you want to take it out of the realm of politics and into the realm of administrative justice or the criminal justice system, right, and adjudicate it in that way on bogus pretexts. I mean, the cases are bogus. And so the question that we're raising is, who actually rules in this country? Is it the American people who get to decide by their vote who represents them in the government? Or is it the permanent bureaucracy that has accumulated so much power? It is a contest of how we think of our democratic system. And I'm of the mind that the people should decide, not the bureaucracy. And this is a contest where Democrats are saying, essentially, we have to destroy democracy in order to save democracy. Democracy has very different meanings in the two usages in that sentence. We have to destroy democracy as we've traditionally known it, electing a president through a vote of the people, in order to save democracy, which is ruled by expert opinion, ruled by the bureaucracy, and essentially left-wing hegemony, left-wing domination over institutions. And as someone who tries to maximize whatever I can do to push forward on these issues politically, it's not lost on me that if they can wipe out someone like Donald Trump, you know, we're all table stakes, relatively.
Yeah.
And they're going to have no hesitation, because once they cross the Rubicon, metaphorically speaking, you know, that's when dissent becomes a crime.
Yeah, that's the point. Trump always says it. They're not coming for me. They're coming for you. I'm just standing in the way. And that's kind of what's going on here right now. And I say that as someone that's not, I'm not particularly enthused about this election, obviously, or some of Trump's behavior in the primary or anything else. I'm being as honest as I possibly can as it relates to all of this. I don't think he can solve, you know, we played a video a day or two ago where he talked about, you know, there was another candidate who said he would need 8 years to do all the things. I can do them all in 3 months. It's like, no, you can't. Okay, fine. And it's a lot of braggadocious stuff. But Rufo is absolutely right about that. What they just tried to do was remove certain states, these attorney generals who are activists, basically Democrat activists, tried to get Trump off the ballot. Then it gets to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, again, they did the right thing, 9-0, said, no, we got to leave this to the people. We understand that it can't be us. It can't be the permanent state that decides who's going to be president. Like, that would be terrible for democracy. So now you get this Raskin guy and Wasserman Schultz and Eric Swalwell. Eric Swalwell, who slept with a fucking Chinese spy, is now trying to get the president, the ex-president, from being the future president, right? Like, this is crazy stuff. But they will try that. And if they were to get him, this was Rufo's point, if they were to get him, as Rufo said, he's been one of the leading voices against DEI. You think they'll go after him? Probably. You think they'll go after Joe Rogan? Probably. You think they'll go after Alex Jones? Probably. You think they'll start coming after you? Probably. Like, that is how a communist society or a collectivist society basically crushes dissent and then takes away. That's why every time communism and socialism come, you know, for these utopian societies, you got to kill an awful lot of people, because the problem in their utopia is that people are not perfect and they are trying to bring you perfection. So I want to show you one other thing, which relates to where the crossover people are going to go. There are so many independents right now. We know that RFK Jr. himself, he's still polling somewhere between 15 and 20%. That is massive. That is way bigger than what the libertarians he's not a libertarian, but the libertarians are really sort of the only semi-functional third party. They got about 1% of the vote last time. He's now polling around 15 to 20%. So independents, people that have walked away from the Democrat Party, or people, let's say it might be some of those people that John King was referring to. Okay, it's Trump's party now on the right, the Republicans. Well, the people that are not into Trump, they're looking for a home. So now there's this whole group of independents. And that's why I'm always talking about this certain set of people, whether it is Elon Musk or Joe Rogan or all the walkaway people, because they don't fit into those specific boxes. And Biden seems to be abandoning them. And I'm always encouraging Trump to figure out a way to do something with them. Ben Shapiro talked about that.
This is the biggest story in presidential politics that no one is covering, is that positionally speaking, Joe Biden abandoning independence has led to a huge swath of people in the middle taking a look at Donald Trump. By the way, you can see this happening broadly writ in sort of more celebrity circles. A bunch of people who certainly are not on the right suddenly taking a second look at Trump and going, I'd vote for that guy. Like, Joe Rogan is not a right winger. Joe Rogan will likely vote for Donald Trump over Joe Biden. That's just a reality. I know, Joe, that's very likely to happen. And I think he said it publicly. Elon Musk will vote for Trump over Joe Biden. Elon Musk is not a right winger. I know Elon Musk, okay? Like, this is true for a huge swath of
That's the group I'm interested in, because that's the group of people that I think will ultimately decide this election. Because most people are locked, no, not most people. The bases of the parties, let's say, are locked in. But for all of you that are free thinkers right now, that don't really care about the R or the D or anything else, and you're trying to figure out which way to go with this thing, and you see the deficiencies everywhere, it's like Trump has a great opportunity to get the Rogans and get the Elon Musks and get a whole swath of people. And that's where I'm going to encourage him to widen that net a little bit. Hopefully he can do that. And we'll see what happens with RFK. And we'll see if Joe Biden can even freaking make it to the election. We shall see on all of that. Guys, part one of my interview with Ashley St. Clair, who's done just an incredible job being on the ground at a lot of this, during a lot of this immigration madness. Part one is up on YouTube and Rumble right now. Full thing is up ad-free on Locals. People of the Internet's live at 1 p.m. post-game show in about 30 seconds. RubenReport.locals.com. We leave you with not a news blooper. Goodbye.
Woof.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the post-game wrap-up every day after the show at RubinReport.locals.com.